This is Morning Edition from NPR on 89.1 WGLT and WGLT.org. WGLT's news magazine Sound Ideas airs at noon and 6 today. During the 30th anniversary year of the release of Eric Johnson's classic album Avia Musicom, the much-lauded guitarist says looking back on that album and his other works is helpful. Johnson returns to the Castle Theater Thursday night. Johnson says that became apparent on last year's tour, where the point was to play Avia Musicom in its entirety.
I discovered face-to-face some stuff, relearning some stuff and listening, going, wow, I forgot I used to do that, and I forgot I used to get this sound. And then I went on a quest to re-inculcate that into what I do now as well. As you go through life, you obviously change and grow, and you might learn something new or do something you like better, but invariably you might leave something on the wayside that maybe is too valuable to leave, and then you go back and pick and choose what's worth re-implementing into your present.
On that album is the song that you're most known for, Cliffs of Dover. Where did that song come from?
It was just a song really kind of came to me in 5 minutes. I don't even know if I can take credit for writing it. It just kind of popped out of the universe. You know, and I spent a little bit of time, you know, embellishing it and trying to get it all together. And then I had the opportunity to play it live for a few years, actually, and kind of tweak it. And a friend of mine named the song. I had no idea what to call it. And I played it for a friend of mine. He said, oh, that sounds like the Cliffs of Dover. So I said, okay, I'll call it that.
Eric Johnson is our guest here on WGLT's Sound Ideas. I want to ask you about your reputation as a perfectionist. Someone like maybe Tom Scholz of the rock band Boston is also known as someone who labors over his recorded work so intensely that, you know, you can go years between album releases. And when I see this, it's often presented as a problem maybe, or someone, boy, that person has an issue, they're such a perfectionist. But let me turn it on you. How do you feel maybe that attention to detail that you do have has served you well?
Well, that's a good question. I have gotten a lot of flack for that, and a lot of it's substantiated. I mean, I think there's a diminishing return. If I speak just for myself, I mean, I think back on the records I spent a long time on. I don't do that as like I used to. I kind of try to let things go now and kind of go with the flow and not be so microscopic about it. I think you can push and push and push and get things better, better, and better, but it's kind of a law of diminishing return. You can go too far, and I think that I have gone too far. You lose sight of the forest and the trees, you know, and then you're regenerating more and more time, and it's taking longer and longer and longer, but you're not necessarily getting something better. I think that criticism is well-founded. I think the record I spent the longest time on was one called Venus Isle. I mean, I spent like 3.5 years making the record, although everybody says I spent 6 years, but actually I spent a couple years not even recording, touring the world, and then I came back. But, you know, spending 3.5 years on a pop record, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous in a way. I mean, if you're going to make this expansive, long, you know, aspiring masterpiece record, well, maybe you need a year or a year and a half. I don't know, about 3 or 4 years, you know. So I don't think I needed as long as I did. I think I got caught in an abyss and I just kept doing it over and over and over and over. Having said that, I go back and listen to that record and there's things on it that I'm very proud of. I know that when I finished the record, I didn't even want to hear it and I didn't know if it was any good or not. But I go back and listen to it now and I hear a lot of the hard work in what I did. I'm not saying it should have taken as long as it did, but I can hear the attempt to try to push at least my envelope and what I was doing. And that's why I'm trying not to do that anymore. I'm trying to maybe get stuff quicker in the moment and try to capture a moment.
When did you come to understand that it's maybe you can do this a little bit quicker, not be so detailed? And how long did it take you to go, okay, I'm going to do that now?
I think it's been a process. It's become shorter and shorter every record I make. All my heroes made records in two or three takes, and they just went in the studio and captured a moment and left. And I thought it was kind of not hypocritical, maybe it's too strong of a word, but it's kind of a dichotomy that all my heroes made records like that. And I enjoyed the mistakes on the record. But when I go in and make a record, I got to spend a couple of years and like saw BBs and get rid of all the mistakes. I thought that was a bit like of a paradox. Like, well, it's two things. I think it's a little bit of an insecurity, which inside that insecurity is a little bit of an ego thing. You know, it's like, oh, I can't allow myself to have any blemish whatsoever. And I'm not confident enough in myself to just go in and like trust this universal flow and create, you know, that thing. So you fall back on just going microscopic, you know. I think the turning point for me was to go, what do I need to do to make better music? And the first thing that came up was that it would serve me well to try to be more soulful, more capturing of an organic moment, putting the number one priority being emotional, connective music to the listener. You know, if you can be like Heifetz or Ishtok Perlman, and you can like nail, or Yo-Yo Ma, and nail something in two takes that's unbelievably virtuosic, that's great. I don't think there's any reason to put that down, but I think it has to be in perspective with catching an organic moment. You know, you can't achieve that by spending 6 months cutting and pasting every single note together. It's not the same if your priority is to make soulful, connected music. And I thought that was something that needed to be enhanced in what I did. When I listened to my records, I thought they needed a little bit more of that emotional connection. The last few records I've made, I've been trying to walk those steps towards that more. And I feel like this new record that is coming out March 6th is more demonstrative of that. And it was done quicker, and it was done with the priority of the emotional connectivity. That was number one priority.